Actually, I get the joy of welcoming my friend, Pastor Greg Hartman, to come join me here on stage as he has been with us from Vineyard Church, Kansas City. He's been spending time with our staff this week. And I know that we are in for a real treat to have him here with us. And I want to just tell you one thing that you need to know about Greg. And then he's going to lead us into a time of experiencing God through the scriptures today. But it was a number of years ago that he and I first met. He was kind enough to engage a conversation with me. And we got to spend a couple days together in and around Denver with some other Vineyard pastors and leaders. But it has now been years that faithfully, once a month, every month, he checks in with me and I check in with him and he prays for me. And he prays for our church. And it has been the gift of that friendship over now years that has been a remarkable way I've experienced God meet me and encourage me. And so it's a joy to have you just speak encouragement to our church today. So can y'all just give another warm welcome to Pastor Greg?
Thank you. Hi, everybody. How we doing? Good. What a joy it is for me to be here today. I'm excited to be with you. I love your pastor. He's been such a great friend to me, and it's been an incredible joy for me to be here for the last several days and get to know his family a little bit more. But I'm excited to be here with you today. I told them that they made a little bit of a mistake giving me a handheld mic today because I might get to preaching, and I do better with feedback. All right, so I don't know if you normally are quiet. Can I give you permission to not be today? All right. Thank you. I heard that you guys have been walking through Matthew 28 together, and I'm excited today to get to what I believe is one of the most powerful passages in Scripture, because this is where Jesus gives his followers their mission and where he tells them what to do with everything that they have received. Now, at my church every Sunday, ask my congregation to a question before I get started, and I'm going to do that here today. Are you ready to get in the Word? Okay. Oh, well, we just talked about feedback a minute ago. Are you ready to get in the Word? This is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, in Scripture, we call this the Great Commission. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is what it really means to live this out, not just as a church, but in our everyday lives. Because most of us, if we have been around church for any length of time, have heard these words before. In fact, some of us might even be able to quote them, or you might have been in churches where they had this up on the wall someplace, because we know the command, go and make disciples of all nations. But I think sometimes we hear it more as a slogan than we do as a strategy. And it becomes something that we believe in, but not something that we always build around. Because this is supposed to be the mission statement of the church, right? This is the slogan for our church. I'll just tell you, if for our church, we say that we exist to make more and better disciples. The Great Commission isn't just about reaching people. It's not just about growing better disciples. It's about more and better. And I think this is often where we get stuck, because most of us and most churches tend to lean one way or the other. Some of us are wired for more. We love evangelism, and we like outreach, and we like momentum, and we like growth, and we look at the Great Commission and we think, let's reach the world. And we want to see more people saved, and we want more baptisms, and this is a great thing. You're the kind of person who might be always inviting somebody to church, always thinking about the next outreach or the next community event. But if we are not careful, we focus so much on reaching people that we forget what we're reaching them into. And we can get really good at filling seats, but not always great at forming souls. So we can make converts, but not disciples. We can count decisions, but don't invest in transformation. It's like catching fish and not teaching them to swim. We celebrate salvations, but we never show them what it looks like to follow Jesus on Monday. And then there are others of us that are wired for better. We love discipleship, and we love depth, and we like spiritual growth, and we want Bible studies, and accountability, and maturity, and theology, and we say things like, we don't need to grow bigger, we just need to get deeper. And that's good too. Passion for truth and for transformation matters deeply, and you care about people actually walking with Jesus and not just talking about him, and you want to see roots grow down deep. But if we are not careful, depth can quietly turn into comfort, because we can love studying Jesus more than following him. We can end up protecting what we have instead of multiplying what we've been given. So we just say, well, I'm just being fed. But after a while, we're so full that we forget to feed anyone else. And we get comfortable in our small group and stop thinking about the empty chair. See, more people without better disciples leads to a shallow church. And better disciples without more people leads to a stagnant one. And this is the thing, Jesus never separated those two. He never said, go and make converts. And he never said, sit still and make yourselves holy. He said, go and make disciples. That means people who both know him and make him known. So it's not either or, it's both and. Because real discipleship always multiplies. When someone truly knows Jesus, they can't help but share him. When someone shares Jesus, they can't help but to grow and know him more. And by the way, when we like something, we tell people about it. You don't ever really like something. My wife loves these candles called Life and Lilac. She's got every scent that there is. And they're great, don't get me wrong. Like, I've got one in my office. They're fantastic. But she will tell anyone, if anything about fragrance comes up at all, she'll be like, have you ever heard of Life and Lilac? Why? Because when you really like something, when you really care about something, you will tell people about it. So the heartbeat of the Great Commission, it's not addition, it's multiplication. It's not just a few people doing ministry, it's every follower becoming a disciple maker. And when the early church caught this, and by the way, they didn't have buildings, they didn't have social media strategies, they just had the Holy Spirit and a conviction that everyone who has ever met Jesus has a story worth sharing. And what started with a few people in an upper room spread across the entire Roman Empire. That is what more and better looks like, more people coming to know Jesus because better disciples are walking with him. So the Great Commission isn't about choosing between more and better. It's about living in the beauty of the middle where growth and depth come together in the power of the Spirit. It is where your faith overflows instead of being contained. It's where discipleship stops being a classroom and becomes a conversation. And it's where the church stops being an audience and becomes an army. Because when better disciples go out, more people meet Jesus. And when more people meet Jesus, the Spirit of God grows better disciples. This is the divine rhythm of the kingdom. So it's never either or, it is always both and. Can we go back to the text for a minute? I ask rhetorical questions. I'm going to do things anyway. Verse 18. Then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So before Jesus ever says go, he says all authority. This is the foundation of the Great Commission. He's reminding them and us that the mission does not start with our effort, our plans. It starts with His authority. What He's saying is, you do not have to manufacture momentum. You just have to move in My name. So hear me. We don't go for Jesus. We go with Jesus. And really, honestly, that changes everything, because if we go for Him, then we will run on pressure and on guilt and on trying to prove something, trying to earn something, and trying to make something happen. So when Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Me, what He's saying is, every space that you step into, I already reign there. That means in your workplace, you're not just walking in as an employee, you're walking in as an ambassador. When you walk into your home, you're not walking alone. The authority of heaven walks with you. When you show up in a school, in a hospital, in a prison, in a boardroom, in a coffee shop, the presence of Jesus shows up too. And His authority doesn't mean that you're loud. It means that you're secure. It doesn't mean that you dominate. It means that something greater than yourself is carrying you. See, Jesus wasn't giving the disciples a motivational speech before He left. He was transferring His authority to them. Everything that I've been doing with you, now you'll do with Me. That's why He says in Acts 1:8 that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The authority of Jesus is the foundation, and the power of the Spirit is the fuel. Together, they make the Great Commission possible. That means that this isn't a mission that we have to manufacture. It's one that we get to join. So we don't initiate it. We participate in it. So when you go, wherever you go, you're not going as someone trying to represent Jesus from a distance. You are not a substitute teacher for the Savior. You're not speaking about Him. You're walking with Him. You're going as someone carrying the presence, His authority, His name. And when you walk into a room, the atmosphere changes. Not because of who you are, but because of who's with you. And that should give us confidence. Not in our eloquence, not in our knowledge, not in our ability to persuade, but by His presence that empowers us. You carry the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that filled Peter on the day of Pentecost. The same Spirit that turns ordinary fishermen into world changers. That is who lives in you, and that is who goes with you. So when you show up at your job, you're not just an employee, you're an emissary of heaven. When you walk into a hospital room, you're not just visiting someone, you're carrying the comfort of Christ. And when you walk into your home, you're not just a parent or a spouse, you're a priest bringing the presence of God into that space. Because a disciple isn't just someone who believes in Jesus, it is someone who carries Jesus with them wherever they go. And that is the confidence of a disciple, not in who we are, but in who walks with us and who works through us. And who never leaves us. And then Jesus gets really practical in verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice He doesn't say, go make believers. He says, make disciples. His disciples aren't just people who believe in Jesus. They follow Him. They're not just hearers. They are doers. And this is so important, because when Jesus says, go, that word in the Greek literally means as you are going. So in other words, it's not just about missions trips or ministries, it's about everyday life. As you are going to work, as you are going to the grocery store, as you are going to soccer practice or lunch with friends or visiting our grandkids, the Great Commission isn't just for missionaries, it's not just for churches, it's for disciples. So it's not about where you go, it's about who you bring with you as you follow Jesus. That means that discipleship is not a class. It is a lifestyle. It's saying, come walk with Me as I walk with Him. And Jesus actually gives us a simple rhythm here, these like three movements that sort of build on each other. First, go. Go and make disciples. That's movement. That's mission. That's leaving comfort to step into someone else's story. Second, baptize. That's belonging. Baptism is about identity, becoming a part of a new family. That means our call isn't just to reach people, but to welcome them and to give them a new home in the body of Christ. And third, teach. Not just information, but transformation. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So I just want to be clear. He's not asking us to create students who can pass a Bible quiz. He's asking us to raise followers who will live out what they know. And when a church commits to going and belonging and teaching, you get both more and better. More people reached, more disciples formed, the Great Commission in action. And I think sometimes we go, well, like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do this. I don't know. Do you guys have terminology in your home that only your house uses? We, in our house, call the remote the moat. We call it that because one of our kids couldn't say remote, and they just started saying demote, demote. And so we call it demote. And if you are the person in the family who is in charge of the remote while we're watching something, we call you the moter. And if a commercial comes on and you don't fast forward fast enough, you're a bad moter. And I do this thing, though, that makes my wife insane. And that is when I am the motor, I will go to watch the show and I will just drop the moat. And then a commercial comes on, I realize I am now responsible and I have no idea where it is. And I start doing this number. I'm glad I'm the only person who's ever done this. And it turns out 80% of the time I'm sitting on the remote when that happens and it's fallen down. So it's like the thing that I'm looking for is literally like the thing that I'm right on top of. The thing that I'm looking for is a thing that is directly adjacent to me. And I think sometimes we do this spiritually. We pray for God to give us opportunities to reach people, but they're sitting right under us. At our table, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, on our street. And so you might hear make disciples and think, well, that's not me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. But can you just understand, if you will, for a minute, who Jesus was talking to, who he was giving this command to? Fishermen. Tax collectors and mothers and laborers, not people with platforms, just hearts that are willing to follow, which means that the Great Commission is not a church program, it is a personal calling. You are already in the places where God wants to use you, in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood. That is your mission field. So the question is not whether God has called you to make disciples. The question is whether you'll do it where you already are. Because discipleship doesn't start with a class. It starts with a conversation. And it does not require a title. It just requires time. And when you pray with someone who is struggling, that's discipleship. And when you model forgiveness, that's discipleship. And when you share what God has done and what he is doing in your life, that's discipleship. And when you open your home and your table and your schedule, that is discipleship. Because every follower of Jesus is called to help someone else follow him. Now, I love how Jesus ends this, because he doesn't close the Great Commission with a command. He closes it with a promise. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. He is not sending us out to do this alone. He's saying, as you go, I'll go with you. As you teach, I will give you the words. As you love, I will supply the grace. As you reach, I will draw hearts to myself. That is the power of the Great Commission, His presence. His Spirit makes this calling possible. And so you might not feel like you are equipped, not ready, not spiritual enough, but if you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. See, He doesn't just send you. He stays with you. And maybe you're here today, and I'm talking about all of this, and you're going, like, making disciples feels a little bit far from where you are because you're not even sure about where you stand with God. But I want you to hear this today. Before Jesus ever sent anyone out, He first invited them in. The Great Commission starts with a great invitation to know Him. The same Jesus who gave His authority away also gave His life on the cross so that you could be forgiven and restored and brought close to God. And He didn't just tell us to go, He came to us first. And that is the good news, that through His death and through His resurrection, you can have a new beginning today, because following Jesus does not start with a mission, it starts with mercy. And it starts with saying, Jesus, I need you, forgive me, lead me, I want to follow you. That is where discipleship begins, in surrender, not in strength. And when we have been changed by that kind of love, we cannot help but go. To reach more, to raise better, because Jesus is worthy of both. So here is what I want to ask you this morning. If the Great Commission calls us to make more and better disciples, which side do you lean towards? Are you more about reaching people or more about growing deeper? Both matter, because when we reach without depth, we get crowds. And when we grow without reach, we get just clubs that people belong to. But when we pursue more and better together, we get kingdom. A healthy church does not have to choose between evangelism and discipleship. It holds both with open hands, reaching the lost and raising those who have been found. And I think that this is an invitation for all of us today to live on mission with Jesus. And not out of guilt, but out of gratitude. Just imagine, if you would, if every person in this room today made a simple commitment to reach one person and to walk with one person. One person that you're praying for. One person you're investing in. One person you're helping take a step closer to Jesus. What would happen? If we all decided that we were going on mission together today, you would see a church that is both growing and deepening more and better. That is what the Great Commission looks like in real life. Not a program, not pressure, a partnership with Jesus for His people by His Spirit. And His promise stands. I am with you always. So let's go, church. Let's be a people who live the full Great Commission. Let's reach more and let's raise better, because Jesus is worthy of both. Can I ask you to do something for me today? I would ask you today if I could pray for you, and what I'm going to ask the Lord to do is to put someone on your heart and on your mind that the Lord is calling you to invest in them. In fact, look, I do things weird because I'm different. I'm from Kansas City. We're weird. Would you stand for me for a moment? Put yourself in a posture of receiving. Would you close your eyes and just let me pray? Lord, right now, as I speak to these people, would you bring someone into their mind that you are calling them to reach, that you're calling them to invest in? that you are calling them to speak life into them, Lord. Lord, we believe today that the Great Commission is for everyone. It's not for churches, it's not for pastors, it's not for church leaders, but it's for every believer who has received the grace and the power of salvation through your work and your resurrection. And so, Lord, today, would you put us on mission with the person that you are bringing to minds right now? And would we be dedicated to have the conversation, to say the prayer, to believe for what you want to do in people's lives, and have a willingness to say yes to what you're calling us to? Put us on mission with you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.